Fred Film Radio. Alicia Nella Città at the Rome Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Rome Film Festival, Alicia Nella Città section. I'm here with Daniel Schechter. Very well done. Director of Safe Spaces. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Nice, very nice to meet you.
Your film is a very funny comedy and also a slightly dramatic film about the relationships inside of a family. Mm-hmm. You know that we Italians are very fond of family. We are very family-oriented too. But in your film, the family is very talkative, very assertive, very, they discuss a lot, but they love each other very much at the very core of it.
Yeah.
And you tell this story through a key of funny narrative. Why did you choose that? Because it would have been much easier to go to drum. You know, drum, it's easier than comedy sometimes.
Okay, a lot to answer there. First of all, I don't think it's a coincidence that Italians would relate to the culture. I am half Italian. The side of the family that I'm exploring here is more the Italian side, so we're much more gregarious and loving. And I think the reason the movie's funny is because, I don't know, it's always sad to be a week in a hospital, but yet I find there's gallows humor. Families tend to laugh almost the most in those environments, especially my family. We, you know, the movie, though I wouldn't say it's about this, it takes place during the week that my grandma passed away. That's the frame of the movie. She goes into the hospital at the beginning and passes away at the end. I remember that week as being, what a beautiful death to be surrounded by your family and all these people that love you and to be laughing and to be lucid. So, you know, I'm relieved to hear you find it funny, but I find most people who watch the film say, yes, we were laughing so much this week too, when most people assume you're crying the whole time, which I don't think would be interesting for an audience to watch my family suffer.
There is one character in the film which is a side character, but it's really important for us non-American ones, which is Caterina, is the Italian fiancée of Josh, which is the lead character, and she's like the European look on this very American family, and sometimes she feels like an alien. She looks like an alien to them because she's so different.
Yes.
But there is a very clear intention on your side for her to be like this, is it?
Yeah. First of all, the movie is about this family story, but then there's another narrative about a controversy at a political correct college.
No.
So her character does twofold. One, she doesn't care about this grandmother and the family, but also she doesn't understand or care about his dilemmas at the school. She's indifferent. And from a European perspective, they don't often understand American politically correct outrage culture. So, and she also is sort of an amalgam of women who have been in my life who have offered interesting perspectives, or they weren't a long-term girlfriend, but they were someone who I will remember forever and was a wonderful character. And Sylvia, who's here, who is from Rome, she helped, I think, invent a very memorable, specific woman.
As you said, the film has this additional story, which is like this controversy at school because Josh is a teacher in a writing class and is accused of harassment, which never happened. But the thing is that nobody believes him, and every single time he tries to justify himself, things are getting worse and worse. And it's like your take on, on one side it's really funny, on the other side it's really frustrating, kind of annoying to watch.
And a little dangerous.
And a little dangerous.
Yeah.
And so this righteousness that you as people seem to have, everything has to be either black or white. There is no gray spaces, and there are no safe spaces for him in this situation. How do you feel about it? Is this something that you can relate to? Is this something that you don't accept?
Yes, of course I can relate to it. The movie, I don't want to say what it is, but we choose an incident that, especially in the United States, is very borderline. Some people see it immediately as inappropriate. Some people have no issue with the way he behaves in this classroom. My feeling is very much in the middle, certainly not black and certainly not white. But I don't think it's all ridiculous. I think there's obviously real victims that I think as a culture we've become much more aware of in the last 3 or 4 years. But I think to go so far with it, the movie is not trying to communicate with the right-wing conservatives.
Yeah, yeah.
I will never connect with them. There's no characters in this film that identify as a right-wing conservative. But these liberals are all attacking one another within the film. which in my opinion leads to giving power to people like Donald Trump that I am certainly no fan of. And I think we need to learn how to have empathy with each other, how to connect with each other, and focus on the most important issues and not get caught up in every tiny controversy.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, you actually touched the core of it, because empathy is the key. Because for us, European, this issue is more easily manageable than it is in U.S. Because you don't. It's like in your film, every single character involved in this issue, they do not have any kind of elasticity in order to actually understand and see what's really happened. It's just a question of if this happens, and it sounds like a bad thing, it would be a bad thing. So it's better for me to step back and, I mean, leave this guy alone, whatever it is. There is no empathy, again, or trying to understand him.
Sure. There's also no age that you are more certain about your opinions than when you were in college.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever films I thought were terrific or terrible, I had such extreme opinions about it. And that was not a particularly important subject, such as Me Too or Black Lives Matter or something like that. But the students had so much certainty about their ideas going into a classroom that they seem unwilling to listen or learn. And as a teacher who I felt I had something to offer them, they didn't have to take all of it, but some ideas that could have stayed with them through their lifetime to make them a better filmmaker in my case, or I'm sure many other subjects in their other classrooms, it just looked like they were not interested in listening anymore. They wanted to talk at you.
Yeah.
And it's not a fun culture. It's Twitter culture. Here's my idea. I don't want to hear what you have to say back.
And actually, it's really frightening. Besides being very frustrating and disturbing, it's really frightening because it's like there is no way to communicate. There is no way to give what you know to someone younger than you, because they don't care.
That's correct.
And there is this sequence in your film where the fight with the black girl against the two white boys in the classroom, which is really, it was really, really annoying.
That is not satire. That is a completely real, which I think you understand. But also, in order for me to allow myself the opportunity to criticize other people, I had to look at myself as a, white man, and I realized I could be very defensive. I can be very close-minded to ideas that I wasn't born with empathy with. And I think throughout the movie, it's just as critical of his own reaction to someone else saying, you hurt me, you made me feel uncomfortable, which I don't think is always invalid. And I think the person who is upset in this movie makes a very compelling argument to him later on. So again, it's always about finding nuance, not about how he's a victim and everyone should leave him alone. I think he does grow and hear something important in this movie.
Yeah, you're right. And probably
for me, personally.
Yeah, probably the thing is that those kind of remarks toward him has to be done maybe much earlier in a different way, instead of more visible and eloquent through Facebook or Twitter, which this you are marked forever. There's no coming back.
You referenced a scene early in the movie where there is a black female student essentially yelling at a classroom, something that happens right before our scene that really gets under her skin. And this is a bad example of communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is throwing labels at them as misogynists and rocks, and they're also being very dismissive towards her. They're not listening or validating anything.
Anybody's listening to
anybody. And that's correct. And at the end of the movie, hopefully there is a scene where you see a very healthy way to communicate, a way that that someone feels uncomfortable or hurt or left out, and he really receives that, and I think it gives her some validation that is important to do. It's very hard to say I'm sorry without the word but.
You're right.
It takes a lot of maturity to just let someone feel like they've been hurt, but that can also be so healing to people, and it's something I try to get better at. It didn't come naturally to me. I was very defensive. I still am. You know, even when people have criticisms of the movie, you take it personally. Of course, this is some version of me and my family, and you can't divorce yourself entirely of it. But I hope and I believe this is true, that the movie is very equal-handed in the people it wants to give criticism to or point out behavior that maybe can be improved upon.
Yeah. Well, actually, it will be, because you managed to build up a character, the Josh character, which is so lovely and so nice, even if it's kind of a confused man, but it's confused in a good way, with a good heart, which is what it takes his family together, I think, too.
Yeah, I you know, sometimes I worry when people like him that, because it's a version of myself. It's not literally me. It's extreme.
So you don't want to be liked.
Well, I don't want to manipulate an audience to love me. That's not why I made this film, you understand. So when they don't like him, at least I know I challenged myself enough to focus on flaws. But I think the truth is, I think I am a relatively good person. And if a student or someone I met here had some issue with me, they're not seeing the full picture of my character, my life, my personality. Just like on Twitter, we immediately want to cancel someone we've never met before for some story that we haven't heard. Clearly, so hopefully it allows you just to consider that there is a human being behind a controversy, and you know that they're dealing with a mixture of anger, shame, regret, resentment. That you know I think is a fascinating and very relevant cocktail of feelings to have in 2019.
And actually, honestly, you managed to do it in such a delightful way that it's a pleasure to watch. Even if sometimes it's kind of annoying, but it's annoying, but it teaches you something. Brings you forward, you know.
Another thing
is about the cast. The casting is great, perfect. I would never thank you enough to having used Fran Drescher again, because I think she's one of the best underrated actress in the last 20 years. And how was the casting process? Did you have already actors in mind, or something just came, or they all came after?
You mentioned Fran Drescher, who's known for The Nanny and broad comedy.
Because she's in another dimension of the world, what you're used to see her.
Yeah, you still recognize her personality, but it's real. It's what she feels like being around her in real life. I'm jealous I didn't think of this idea. One day I received a text message from my mother, and it just said Fran Drescher. And I didn't understand the context, and I realized she was pitching her as an idea to cast to play my mom, a version of my mom. Which she's brilliant for. They both were raised in Queens. They look similar. They have my mom doesn't have this voice, but she has some attitude that is similar. And so Fran was the first person who said yes and felt very right. Because for me, to nail certain people in this film, I wanted to feel like the person I was inspired by. And that was great. And then I think Justin Long was the next person to sign on. And he was at a fame level where it would mean we would get financing and get to make the movie. And then we started offering it to everyone, and I think we got our top choice for every role. I was very careful about who I went to. I passionately pitched this little movie to them and tried to offer them something new that they haven't done before, like Fran Drescher. You know, I think actors want to show a different side of themselves, and it's an exciting
challenge.
Especially when
that type cast so much, like she was.
And then for the students, it was fun to find completely fresh faces, but not who felt like actors in acting classes. You know, we found them off the internet and people who, to me, reminded me of the students that I saw in school, who are so diverse in every way, their sexual orientation, their ethnicity, where they come from, their background. And I remember how boring I felt as a white man. It was like watching Hamilton on stage, and I was Phantom of the Opera. I felt like a 20-year-old extinct thing. But it was so exciting to be around them. It wasn't just annoying. Of course, they're passionate and empathetic, and they have wonderful ideas, and they're modern. They seem beyond where I was at that age in a lot of other ways. So it was a challenging yet thrilling environment to work in as a teacher for them that I think helped me grow and inspired me, obviously, to make a movie.
Well, we're very happy you did it, because it's a really wonderful film. So thanks a lot to Daniel Schechter, the director of Safe Spaces. Here from Alice nella Città section of the Rome Film Festival, I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Grazie. Thank you very much for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.